All week, we've been looking at headlines of 2015 and hearing how they hit home for individual Americans. Today, prison reform. This was a year in which the criminal justice system was confronted on the streets and in Washington. The Obama administration, the Justice Department, and now Congress, all reexamining old mandatory minimum sentence laws that disproportionately sent African Americans to prison. President Obama has now granted clemency to 184 people, more than any president since Lyndon Johnson. The latest round came earlier this month when Obama shortened the sentences of 95 federal prisoners. Our next guest was part of a group pardoned in July, and he was released exactly 1 month ago. Douglas Lindsay was sentenced to life in prison when he was 28 in 1996 for a first-time nonviolent drug crime. He admits he was selling crack cocaine, even though he had a full-time job. He was doing it to pay for college. He disputes that he was the leader of a ring, and reporting since has backed that up. Douglas Lindsay joins us now. And Doug, what was it like to step out after 19 years?
It was amazing. It's hard to even put into words, because when you've been in prison that long, you kind of get used to the routine of how things go. So to step out and see the stuff and see how the world is moving so much faster than, you know, than being inside, it was amazing.
Yeah, what are some of the things you noticed?
God, technologies have really increased from when I tell people sometimes, please forgive me, man, when I left, man, the flip phone had just came out, you know, so I really don't know how to work all these devices.
Yeah. Well, you know, that some people fear that because of that, because there are many prisoners being released, they're coming out into a world that has, as you said, so technologically advanced since they went in, they're going to be less likely to join that world. What about you?
Oh, yeah, I got a job. I'm a forklift driver, you know, and got a bank account.
But did you worry at all? Gee, how am I going to join this rat race that's been going on without me?
No, Robin. I think for me, my situation may be different from other guys. Even though I had the time I was given, I never gave up or believed that I would do all the time. So even inside, I made preparations. You know, I studied, I read books. Even when I watched TV, it wasn't just for entertainment. I was trying to learn what was going on. I tried my best from even inside to keep up with the world out here. So that when I got out, I would be prepared. I know I won't be all the way up to speed, but I wanted to be in a situation where once I got out, it wouldn't take me long to get up to speed.
Yeah. So you prepared. But
yeah.
You were preparing not knowing if you were going to get out. You had a life sentence.
True.
What's that like to have hang over your head? Especially since, in your case, there's been a lot written about your case. You were clear from the beginning that you weren't part of this ring. Your co-defendants, instead of going to trial, they plea bargained. They all turned around and accused you of being the ringleader. It was said that you were running a crack house. It was later revealed that I think it was your aunt who actually lived in a crack house, not you. So there were some false accusations made against you. We'll go to what you admit that you did do, but there were false accusations made against you, and you're sitting with a life sentence over your head. How did you keep going?
Well, my faith, you know. I'm a Christian, and I studied the Word, I read the Word, I prayed, I believed, you know. And I understand, I did have bad days, you know. Especially when you apply for something, you know, you file something in court, and you studied on it, and read all the cases, and everything seemed to point that you should get some relief from the sentence, and then 6 months later, you know, the judge sent it back saying denied. So I had some rough times, but I just didn't believe that I was created in my mother's womb to die in prison from a first time of doing anything to that magnitude.
Well, and Douglas, as I'm sure you know, that's what a lot of prisoners say. You know, I have faith. I found Jesus in prison.
Yeah, true.
And I didn't do it. And there are people very skeptical about this prison release program. And further, even people who might believe, well, this was a first-time offense. You were dabbling in selling crack cocaine to, as you say, to pay to go to college, which is on record that you were trying to do that. They'd still say crack cocaine was a scourge, even of your own community. You were selling crack to people. You had addicts in your own family. You deserved the penalty.
Well, one thing you have to understand about us as Americans, we tend to be very harsh when it's someone else. You know, when we can sit in our home and say that person deserves life or that person deserves the death penalty, until it's someone that we love or someone we care about. Then all of a sudden, oh, God, please let me get another chance, or that's my baby and he's not that bad of a person. So, I mean, it sounds kind of hard to say, but as Americans, we're big hypocrites. And so it's easy for us to say those things, you know, when it's not anyone that we love or care about.
Well, but you also say that this was, you know, you say you did something of this magnitude, meaning you did, you admit that you did sell crack cocaine.
Yeah,
but
I did.
But what the Obama administration and other legal analysts have long been saying is that the sentencing was very hypocritical, that young African-Americans, first-time offenses, very little crack cocaine, were getting far harsher sentences than whites who were dealing in powder cocaine, which was also incredibly damaging.
Or crack. Because it's really pretty much on the prosecutor whether he determines whether or not you selling crack or powder. So me and a white guy could go in and because the prosecutor wants to get the white guy less time, he'll say, well, this guy was selling cocaine. And then the black guy who could have been selling cocaine, he'll say, well, this guy sold cocaine, but it was later turned into crack, so therefore he should be charged for crack.
Well, this might have been something that you and other inmates might tell each other when you were in prison, and now it's been validated by the President of the United States. Mm-hmm. What's that like?
It's amazing. You know, it's wonderful that we would have a president that would even think about someone like me. That's amazing, you know, and I really appreciate what President Obama did.
Well, and yet you have, you know, talk about your own personal responsibility as you sat in prison and as you try to reconstruct your life now. How do you feel about what you did?
I truly regret it because I wasn't raised that way. My mom worked hard to make sure we had. I was in the Army. I did well in that and then got out and was determined to go to school. And honestly, I got introduced to selling drugs from someone I knew and saw the amount of money that I could make and the things I could do to maybe to help myself. And at that time, because of who I was then, I didn't see it as wrong. And I know that may be hard for people to believe, but I didn't see it at that time as wrong. I just saw it as, okay, well, these people, they have a need. And honestly, I saw it as supply and demand. That's where I saw it then. You know, I don't see it now. I realize now that selling drugs is wrong. And I myself, I'm disappointed that I sold, and I'm disappointed in anyone who chooses to sell because you're destroying your community, and that's true.
Well, and members of your family, we mentioned your aunt. Yeah. You had addicts in your family.
Yeah. Yeah, I still do. I mean, she's still a drug addict. I mean, she lives on the street now, and that's her own choosing. I shouldn't be, next guy shouldn't choose to say, well, I'll be the one that'll give it to him.
So, Douglas Lindsay, we all have a new year coming up. You really do.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you're going about building your new life in the new year.
Definitely.
I mean, you've been given a second chance.
Definitely, yeah. Once I get myself situated, I definitely want to begin to talk to the youth, man, the Boys and Girls Club or whatever it may be. And I want to be able to explain to them about not just my situation, but about life, the stuff I've learned in prison, you know, how to better yourself and how not to get caught up in some of the things that I did or other people do. Because a lot of times, one of my biggest things I say is the reason why a lot of us don't know is no one has taught us, you know. Someone happened actually decided to show me how to sell drugs, and then I saw it was a way to make money. But what if someone would have showed me how to sell real estate or the stock market? I mean, one of the biggest problems with the youth, and not just black, but youth from lower middle class on down, is that they're only being told just go to college in some kind of way you'll figure it out, and they're not really being explained to how can I actually make it financially so that I won't be tempted to sell drugs or steal cars or rob someone.
What do you say to the people? I'm thinking of Ronald Teachman, who was the police chief in South Bend, Indiana, until recently. His concern is that prisoners who are released, people coming out of prison, are hardened. They're angry. They're more likely to offend. They don't have skills. They're not going to be able to get jobs, and they're going to return to crime.
Again, that's from a guy who have never been to prison. So, again, it's someone, how can I put this, try to make it sense. Say, making a cake. You can look at my cake and say, that's the nastiest cake in the world because you never tasted it. You understand what I'm saying? Until you taste it, then you may see it tastes pretty good. So what I'm saying is, it's easy for someone who never went to prison to say, oh, those people, and I'm not dealing with color now, there's people in prison. Those people are bad people. They're mad. They're angry. They're going to go out and they're going to offend. Because they've never been to prison. And some of these people are going to go out and offend. Now, that's true. But let me assure you, Douglas MacArthur Lindsay II would not be one of those people.
That's Douglas Lindsay. His life sentence for crack cocaine dealing was commuted by President Obama last July. He got out last month. Douglas, we wish you a happy new year.
Hey, same to you.